Thank you, choir. What a blessing. Did you enjoy that? And I could look at those young people. I don't know them, but I can tell they're good young people. I doubt there's a perfect one up here, but I think they're good young people, and I praise the Lord for it. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 5, please. Ephesians chapter number 5, and I was doing pretty good till Pastor Angel got up and got emotional, and then he about got me started again. But anyway, it's wonderful, wonderful to know how it feels. Ephesians chapter number 5, please. I'm just praising the Lord tonight for the privilege to be here. I thank the Lord for your pastor. Thank the Lord for your church. Years ago, the Lord did some wonderful things to bind Brother Terry and I together. And we worked together for some years, as you know. And then when we departed, we kind of made a promise to each other that if ever either one of us needed the other, we would come running. And we've not called each other very much about that through these, 20 years, Brother Terry? But, of course, when Diane went to be with the Lord, I knew I needed him. And, matter of fact, before she died, I gave him a heads up. I said, Terry, I'll probably need you. And he said, well, you'll call on your pastor, who is Diane's home pastor, Bobby Robertson. I said, yeah, maybe. But I said, I'll need you. And I needed both of them. And Brother Bobby came and preached the message, and then, forgive me, but we call him affectionately. Brother Terry came and helped us coordinate the service and said some wonderful things. And we want to thank you for your prayers. And some people asked me, said, how are you doing? I said, well, I'm not sure. I've never been this way before, but I think I'm doing all right. I think I am. And I believe God's amazing grace is helping me and holding me up. And it's amazing what God can do for you. And I told Brother Terry, I said, you know, Terry, I said, we really never have the Lord in our lives until we have to have him. When we have to have him, we have him. And when we don't have to have him, we don't have him because we can do without him. We are too carnal to really submit to him unless we have to. That's why God keeps us in those have-to circumstances. That's why financially sometimes we hit a wall, or emotionally we hit a wall, or maritally we hit a wall, or with our children we hit a wall, because we got to have God. And God brings us to those times when we have to have him. And so I came to a point I had to have him, and I needed your pastor, and he came, and I appreciate that. Now, I have preached three or four different messages that were heavily infested with things the Lord had revealed to me and showed me concerning Diane and her home going. But I really don't have that tonight. I have another message and another direction. And I believe it can help us. Ephesians 5, if you haven't found it, it's right after Galatians. And if you can't find that, just keep turning. You'll get there. Well, hopefully tonight that you'll just get a little adjustment. We all need a little adjustment at times. I heard of a little boy who came in the house. He came in the back door. He didn't know that the pastor had come and was talking to his mother in the front room. By the way, sound man, I changed my sermon again, so I won't be using the illustration that you had. Yeah, there we go. And but be sure to get that back to me, okay? I never know. A lot of times I don't know till I get up what I'm going to preach. And then sometimes I don't know what I've preached and nobody else does either. But anyway, I'm hoping tonight it will be different. But the little boy came in the back door. And he didn't know the pastor had come and was talking with his mother in the front room. And as he came in the back door, he said, Mama! Mama! She said, what? He said, I killed a frog. She said, you did? He said, yeah. He didn't know. And he's just walking through the house as he's talking. I killed a frog, Mama. I killed it. I took a great big rock and I hit it right on the head and its brain squirted out. And then I took a stick and beat it and beat it. And then I stomped it and its gut spewed out. He kept walking. And then he walked in where the preacher was talking to his mama. And he said, he looked up and saw the preacher and said, and the poor thing passed away. And he adjusted that a little bit. And we all need a little adjustment. And I think this will adjust you from Ephesians 5. I'm going to start reading in verse number 18. Here is a message. You'll learn some Bible tonight. You'll learn some Bible. Everybody for that on a Wednesday night. I pondered. I narrowed it down to 4 sermons by the time I left the motel. When I got here, I narrowed it down to 3, and then it came down to 2. And trust me, this man has a video showing a live lion lunging at a man, just a miracle he lived, in actual footage of a lion hunt. It's called Lion Attack. It's a very exciting sermon. Shame you're not going to hear it tonight. It's a real shame. I'd love to hear it myself, to be honest with you. And but we'll come back again, hint, hint, hint. And until then, I really believe, in all honesty, that's more of a revival sermon. Everybody get right with God and get on the altar. Well, I hope this will be too. However, this is more of a teaching sermon for a Wednesday night. It may not be quite as spectacular as that, but I'm going to tell you what's spectacular. It's whatever God gets in. And another thing that's spectacular is whenever you get right with the Lord in your heart. And I really believe that's what can happen tonight. From Ephesians 5, let's start with verse 18. Everybody stand up. We'll read the Bible, and then I'll let you be seated. Ephesians 5 and verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, what is the fruits of a Spirit-filled life? Number 1, verse 19. Song in the heart. Brother, when you got a song in the heart, I got up this morning singing. I walked through the house singing. I've had a song on my heart all day long. I praise the Lord for putting a song in my heart. I'm happy when I laugh and I'm happy when I cry. I feel better when I feel bad than I used to feel when I felt good. I've got a song in my heart. Then I want you to notice here, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A grateful heart. A grateful heart. Brother, when you could just overwhelm day by day and moment by moment as to what God has done for you. Man, that's the fruit of a Spirit-filled life. Now, I want you to notice here, here's the next one, verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, that's the one I'm going to preach about. I could have preached on each one of those fruits of the Spirit, but that's the one I'm going to preach about. Now, hold your place there. As soon as I pray, I'm going to bring you a message called submission, submission. Literally, what it means is submission causes submission. I think you'll learn something from the Bible. Let's ask God to teach us. Now, Heavenly Father, O Holy Spirit of God, I know, Lord, the great source of revival will be what John the Baptist, the great forerunner of Christ, who come to bring revival. And he said he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the disobedience of the just. And dear God, if parents and children and husbands and wives can get right, and the Lord, if people and pastor and employer and employees, what a revival we'll have. What a wonderful time. What a meeting with God. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'll bless us now as we preach the Bible. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, please. Now, he said the spirit of fruit of a Spirit-filled life is, number 1, a song in the heart. Number 2, giving thanks to God. And number 3, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Then he lists 4 relationships in which each was to submit to the other. Now, I want you to give me your undivided attention. I'm going to teach the Bible to you a little bit, and then we'll preach the Bible to you a little bit, okay? We'll preach to you about what we've taught you in the introduction and in the 4 part of the sermon. Now, he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Then he gives 4 relationships in a row that wherein each is to submit to the other. The first one is the husband and wife relationship. Notice here, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. But notice in verse 25, it says the husband is to submit to. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. So not only is the wife to submit to the husband is to submit to the wife. Oh, not in the same sense that he obeys her and does everything she says, but in the sense that he submits back to her in loving her. The second relationship is the parent-child relationship, chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Then he says, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So he says, children, you ought to submit to your parents. But then it says, parents, you need to submit back to your children in the way you love them, in the way you bring them up, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, notice the third relationship is the employer-employee relationship. Verse number five of chapter 6. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. There's submission. Now look in verse number 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them. So not only is the employee to submit to the employer is to submit back to the employee. Now finally in verse number 10, we have the God, child of God relationship. And if we submit to God, then I say this reverently, but I'm going to prove it to you from the Bible, God will submit back to us. So you have these four relationships. They all come under the head of submitting yourselves one to another in the fruit of God. Now, the submission one to another, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:5, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Now, I'm going to blow your socks off. Give me undivided attention. I'm going to blow your socks off. Not only in these four relationships is each to submit to the other. Not only is the wife to submit to the husband, but the husband to submit to the wife. Not only is the child to submit to the parent, but the parent is to submit to the child. Not only is the employee to submit to the employer, but the employer is to submit to the employee. Not only is the child of God to submit to his God, but God then will submit back to the child of God. Here's what's going to get you. In every case that these are mentioned, in every case I've ever studied these relationships in the Bible is mentioned, the subordinate is to submit first. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. Then I'm going to show you why. Okay? It doesn't say, men, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And then say, wives, you submit to a man like that. Doesn't say that. But first it says, wives, you submit to your husbands. Then it says, husbands, you love your wives. It doesn't say, now you fathers, you bring those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, children, you submit to your parents. It doesn't say that. But here's what it says. Children, obey your parents. It says that first. Then it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It doesn't say, employers, you submit to those employees. Boy, if you treat them right, they'll respond to you right. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. But it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, verse number 5. Then in verse 9 it says, and ye masters, do the same. And of course, as we would strongly suspect, it doesn't say, now God, you submit to your children, and then your children submit to you. You know, in every case, he said, draw nigh to me, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. But you got to make the first move. The subordinate is to always submit to the authority. Now, you say, why is it that way? Well, several reasons. First of all, if it wasn't that way, then the leader would become the follower, and the follower would become the leader. And everything would be out of order. The home would be out of order. The church would be out of order. The workplace would be out of order. The husband and wife relationship would be out of order. It would all be out of order. And the leader, in every case, would forfeit his leadership. But there's another thing. This thing that God laid out, God not only taught us this in his word, he built it into our very nature. He built it in our very nature. I've been married up until just a few weeks ago, almost 38 years. I am a very stubborn man. If my wife was back here, she would say amen. You folks can say amen to that. Very stubborn man. And if you push on me, I'll push back. But if you submit to me, I will submit back. And so we have it. Now, it's not just a doctrinal thing. In every case, you find this relationship. For instance, I'll be gone before you get there, but let me just read you this. In Colossians 3 and verse number 16, almost a duplicate of what we read in Ephesians 5, it says here, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." Now here the fruit of a Spirit-filled life is singing, and then it says, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Then it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as is fit in the Lord." Then it says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Do you see the order? Same order we find in Ephesians 5. The next verse, verse 20, says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Then it says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Notice the order again. The same exact order you find in Ephesians 18. Then it says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters." And then it goes on to say that the masters, in chapter 4, verse 1, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal." In every single place you find it in the Bible, you'll find that God says the subordinate is to submit first. Now, this is not just a doctrine taught all the way through the Bible. It is built into our very nature. If this is the way the marriages work, the home works, the parent-child relationship works, if this is the way the pastor-people relationship works, if this is the way that the employer-employee relationship is out yonder in the workplace, if this is the way the God-child of God relationship is, we can have a great revival. And wonderful and amazing things can happen in homes and marriages, in child-rearing, in churches, and even in the workplace where we deal with lost heathen people. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, and we're going to deal with each one of these four relationships, and I want you to give me your undivided attention. Now, we're going on a journey, and I'm just praying God will bring revival tonight. Oh, that's the only thing. You know what? I was in a church some years ago. It's amazing what comes back to your mind when you walk where others have walked. And I forget where it was. I don't know what church it was in, but there was a young man in that meeting, much younger than I am. He hadn't been married very many years. He had a little boy with him, maybe 8 years old, 7 or 8 years old. And somebody had told me that his wife had just died. And so he walked up to me after I had preached, and I said, "Brother, listen, I heard that your wife passed away." He said, "Yes, sir." And I said, trying to make conversation, I said, "Is this your little boy?" He said, "Yes, this is my little boy." He paused and he looked up at me. He said, "We just want to serve the Lord now, Pastor Brown." He said, "That's about all we've got left now." And you know, I can identify with that. But I want to show you something in the Word of God that I believe will change your life tonight. And I want to show it to you here in the husband and wife relationship. Then we'll move to the parent-child relationship. Notice here, the husband and wife relationship, verse 21 through verse number 24. "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Now, again, anywhere you go in the Bible, you're going to find this order. For instance, I've already shown you from First Peter. I've shown you from Colossians 3:16. Let me read to you from 1 Peter 3, verse 1 through 7. Verse 1, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. And if any obey not the word," and it goes on here, "with fear and trembling, who's adorning, let it be the hidden man of the heart." And it goes on to here, "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord." Then it says, "Likewise, ye husbands." Do you get it? In every case. Brother Terry, I don't know of any place where the discussion comes under our attention in all of the Word of God where that same order is not found. Now, to illustrate this, years ago, Kathy Rice, wife of the late Dr. Bill Rice, who is deceased, brother of John Rice, Kathy Rice was teaching at the Bill Rice Ranch that Dr. Rice had founded. And Kathy Rice teaches a large group of ladies. And in that course of teaching, she made a statement. She wrote the greatest book, by the way, one of the greatest books ever been written on marriage, The Right Way in Marriage by Kathy Rice. And Mrs. Rice said this. She said, made the statement, "I always do everything my husband says do, and I always try to do it with a good attitude." Well, there was a woman in that congregation that
burnt her to a crisp. Now, she was one of these run-it-all women, and that just cooked her goose. I mean, she just burnt her to a crisp. So she really got subtle. And she went to Dr. Rice later in the day. He'd been teaching men or boys something. She went to him, and she said, "Dr. Rice," smiling. You know how these women get you going. Smiling, and said, "Dr. Rice, I heard your wife teach this morning. She's quite a teacher." "Oh, thank you, man." "Dr. Rice, you know what your wife said this morning to a group of ladies?" He said, "Ma'am, I have no idea. I just trust her to tend to that over there," or whatever. And she said, "In the course of her teaching, she said that she always did everything you wanted her to do, and she always did it with a good attitude." And just smiled and says, "What do you think of that?" He said this. He dropped his head. He said, "Well, Ms. Rice didn't tell the whole story. This lady grins from ear to ear. I can see her grinning from ear to ear. And she's thinking, I got her! I got her!" And so he raised his head. He said, "She didn't tell you the whole story." Said, "The rest of the story is this. I always do everything she wants me to do. Everything. And I always do it with a good attitude." Now, friend, listen to me. I've got my finger on the secret to one heaven on earth for every home here, right now. Here was a woman that chose to obey everything her husband said do, all the time, with a good attitude. And here is a bull-headed, strong, fiery, leadership, kind of a tall, husky fella that had become totally powerless. Except to just submit back to her and do everything she wanted him to do and to do it with a good attitude. My wife told me years ago, and I didn't obey her, and then I started preaching this once in a while lately, and we're having a revival. But she told me, she said, "Larry, you ought to preach that everywhere you go. It will tell these women how they can get their husbands to do what they want him to do and do it biblically." I had a lady in my church, and I taught this in my church, and there was a lady came up to me. You'd know her, Brother Terry, and if you want to know who it is, I'll tell you after service. I'm just being recorded, so I'm not going to tell you on the phone. But she came up to me, and she said, and she's a wonderful lady. Wonderful lady. Been there 20 years. Wonderful lady. Had, at that time, probably been there 20. A wonderful lady. And so she said, "Pastor, you know, that's good preaching, but that wouldn't work in our case." I said, "Why not?" She said, "Pastor," she said, "I couldn't let him make all the decisions. And I couldn't follow in the decisions he made." I said, "Why not?" She said, "Pastor, he's wanting to buy a brand new car now. If we bought a brand new car, we couldn't make house payments. There's no way we could make house payments." She said, "We'd go broke." I said, "Well, you wouldn't go broke but once." She just looked at me. I said, "Look," I said, "you know, at some point in time, whatever it cost you, whatever trouble you have, whatever house you lose, you're going to have to submit to him and just start doing it God's way, or you'll never please God." She just looked at me and walked off. About 2 weeks later, she came to me grinning like a mule eating sawbriars. She said, "It worked, it worked." I said, "What worked?" She said, "Let me tell you what." She said, I thought, okay, here goes. She said, "I was sitting at the breakfast table and said he was across from me. And he brought it up again about that car. He said, 'Boy, you know, I'd sure love it.'" And it was a Buick, the biggest Buick he made. Nice new car. And he said, "Boy, I'd like that." He said, "What? I'd like to buy that." She said, "Buy it." He said, "What?" She said, "Buy it." He said, "Buy it?" She said, "Yeah. I can tell you want it. You mentioned it several times. Get it." He said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah. After all, I mean, you're the head of the home. You're the leader. I mean, you know what we ought to do. I mean, you know what we can afford and what we can't afford. But I'd enjoy it. I've always liked to ride new cars. It'd be fun." He said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah. Hey, you're the leader. Do whatever you feel like." A week later, he's sitting at the table. And I don't know if she mentioned it or he mentioned it, but he said, "You know, I've been thinking about it. If we bought that car, I don't hardly know how we could make payments on it and make house payments too." You see, ladies, She'd been destroying a man. Now, I want to tell you something, ladies. Now, you listen to what I'm going to tell you now. I didn't ride in your little pumpkins this afternoon. Been married to the same woman, be 38 years next month. If she had lived, it'd been 38 years. 38 wonderful years, Pastor Angel and his wife know all about our lives. And I want to tell you something. Some of you younger ladies, and younger means anything from 50 down. Some of you younger ladies, you can do all right now by being the leader. But as you get older, you're going to want more and more security in your life. And you're going to live to hate the creature you're creating. You are going to live to detest the human being you have created. Now, I want to help you if you'll listen to me. I was preaching with Sheldon Smith somewhere in Ohio. Now, listen to me. Sheldon Smith has never heard this sermon. But he gave in his message the perfect illustration. He said, I got a hankering for a luxury car. It wasn't a new one, but it was a late model luxury car. He never did say what it was. I assume it was a town car or some one of the nicer big cars. He said, I'd looked everywhere for it. Actually, he was preaching on covetous. He went a different direction, but boy, what an illustration. And he said, I'd pick up Betty on the lunch hour when I was there at the Sword of the Lord office. And he said, we'd just go ride car lots. And he said, I finally found a couple of cars, and we got out and looked at them. Said, Betty got out. She looked at them with me. And he said, but Betty never said that much. And he said, finally, I found just that car, just the color, just the miles, just the car I want. It was the ideal car. He said, I walked around that thing. He said, I could feel it was mine. He said, it'd been weeks and I'd been pondering. And boy, I felt like that this was it. I'd prayed about it. I'd asked God. I felt like this was it. And he said, I stopped. I was about to go talk to the fellow. He said, I stopped and I looked at Betty and I said, Betty, you know, you really haven't said anything about this car buying business. What do you think? He said, Betty looked at me and said, buy it. I can tell you want it. Buy it. You'll be happy if you get it. He said, when my wife said that, the Holy Ghost said, you can't afford that thing. Said, the Holy Spirit of God said, you can't afford that car. Now, here's what happened. And he don't even know what happened. He don't have a clue what happened because he's never heard this sermon. But when his wife submitted to him, the Holy Ghost could talk to him. Some of you have God short-circuited to your husband. Some of you have your husband cut off from God. God cannot speak to him. God cannot lead him. God cannot mature him. God, there's some of you married to men who are not leaders. And they're not going to be leaders until you submit. But when you submit, God is going to begin to mature. Oh, and they may make some dumb mistakes. They may lose the house or buy a car they shouldn't buy. I doubt they will, to be honest with you. Because I would imagine the Holy Ghost of God is going to start working with that husband in a way he never has and start making him into the man he's never been because you submitted to him. You are going to live to hate. Now, let me tell you something. A woman... Years ago, I heard this story. I don't know who it was, but I heard this story. A woman was in a service on a Sunday night, about like Pastor Angel has here, and the preacher had preached on the husband and wife relationship in the home, and boy, she got under conviction, and she came and sat on the altar and cried, oh God, I'm nothing but a naggy old shrew, and she went home, and she had a husband that started everything, finished nothing. He had the cars in it, old junk cars. He was going to remodel the bedroom. He put a pile of 2x4s right up against their bed. And he was going to remodel the bedroom. And it had been weeks and months, and he hadn't done anything about it. She had to climb over a pile of 2x4s to get in bed every night. And all was she, and she never let him hear the end of it. I tell you, what other woman has to climb over boards to get in her bed? She was upset. I mean, she was just upset. Nag, 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 nag. One woman nagged so much that when her husband died, she put on the tombstone, here lies Walter. May he rest in peace until we meet again. Nag, 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 nag. And and she got under conviction and she got right with God. And she went home and said, sit down, I got to talk to you. And he sat down with big eyes and looked at her. And she said, look, I've got a husband that don't smoke. And I've got a husband that don't drink. And I've got a husband that don't run around with women. And I've got a husband that's been a good example to these children. And I've got a husband that for all these years has been loyal to me and faithful to me. And brought home a paycheck and gone to church and been faithful. And hadn't just keep it right now. And and I've got a husband that's done right. And I have nagged and nagged and nagged and destroyed our marriage and destroyed our happiness over a pile of 2x4s. And I'm sorry. And I want you to forgive me. Hey, by the way, guess what happened in less than 7 days to the 2x4s? How many men know what happened in less than 7 days to the 2x4s? Now, you women wouldn't know. But all of us men know. Brother, she put the kaitis on him. I mean, she fixed him. I mean, the cars are moved in the yard. The project went on. The remodeling was done. And she discovered the man she could have had all along by submitting. Let me tell you something. If you're married to a man, you ain't going to drive him to do nothing. Now, if you're married to a Twinkie, you might. You're married to one of these fellas, a henpeck, he has to roost on the bedpost of a night. Well, you might. But if you're married to a man, I'm talking about a fellow with hair on his chest. I'm talking about a man. If you're married to a man, amen, amen. I ain't talking about one of these little cute fellas. I'm talking about a man. Amen. God help us. We need some men. Amen. Men. I may not weigh but 140 pounds soaking wet and full of bananas, but there ain't no woman about me. Now, you just put it down. I'm talking about a man. Say amen. I mean, listen, she discovered the joy and the happiness and a man that would submit back to her and yield to her every whim. Let me tell you something. I've got my checkbook here. I could show you. I've got my checkbook. It says J. Larry or Diane N. Brown. And all these years, she could write a check anywhere, anytime, for any reason she wanted to. And as a matter of fact, if I found out anything she wanted anytime, it didn't matter what it was, what it cost, what I had to borrow to get it, I'd go get it for her. And she could get anything, anytime, any place she wanted. You say, now, you just hit your husband and say, did you hear that? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You better listen to the rest of the sermon. Because I had a woman totally submitted to me. And I was totally powerless not to submit back to her and to yield to her. Now listen, one woman come up to a preacher and said, hey, that works good for you Christian people, but I'm married to a drunk. And he comes home and cusses me and carries on like the devil. And sometimes he pushes me and pushes me down. What do you expect me to do? And the priest said, well, what do you do when he's cussing you and starts to push you? She said, what do you mean what I do? I claw his eyeballs out. That's exactly what I do. He said, that don't sound like submission to me. She said, submission to a drunk? He said, lady, somebody's going to have to wave a white flag somewhere. He said, why don't you try it? It wasn't long after that he came home drunk, stone drunk, cussing drunk, vulgar drunk, wicked drunk, dangerous drunk. He started cussing her, and then he pushed her and she fell on the floor. When she fell on the floor, he got down and he drew back to hit her. And she said, by that time I had my claws in his eyes. And she said, I looked up. And remember, the preacher said, now submit. And she said, I remember, the last thing I remember thinking was, Lord, are you sure this is going to work? And she said, I just looked up at him. I didn't say a word, just looked at him. And said, he drew his hand back. And he stared at me. Said he got up. And he staggered in the bedroom, fell across the bed, and went to sleep. But he got saved shortly after that. And here's the testimony he gave. He said, in all the years I was married to her, I never saw God in the witness, in the preacher, in the tracts, in the songs, in anything, except when I threw my hand back to hit that woman, and she looked up at me and never said a word. She said it was like her face became a mirror, and I saw what an ungodly, vile, filthy, sinful beast I was, and I couldn't get over it, and I couldn't get around it, and the Holy Ghost of God rammed it up in my face and said, that's what you are, boy. And he said, I couldn't live. And he got born again by the grace of God. Somebody said, well, now, Pastor Brown, wait a minute. Supposing I submit to him and he don't submit back. Supposing I honestly submit to him with a hard attitude and he don't submit back. Now, I'm going to shake you up. I'm going to shake Pastor Terry Angel up right now. You can go get you another husband. Biblically. Want to know why? God will kill you. And if you're dead, you're free from the law, you can go get you another. Now, while you're laughing, you men better listen to me. If God gives you a woman, now I ain't talking about playing tricks, ladies. I'm not talking about your cute little schemes. Well, the preacher said, if I do this, and then you run home, but your heart's not in it. I'm talking about your heart getting in it. I'm talking about attitude. I'm talking about in your heart. And I'm going to tell you something. Men, you better listen to this bald-headed Baptist preacher. If that woman of yours that God gave you submits to you with an honest and true and spiritual heart, God will cause you. There's something built into your nature to make you want to love her back and submit back to her. And if you don't do it, you'll wrap your little Ford around somebody's oak tree somewhere. If you don't do it, you're going to pick yourself out an early grave, sir. If you don't do what naturally comes natural to love her back and submit to her, God will kill you and give her a husband twice as handsome and three times as rich as you are. And you look down from heaven, and some other man will be driving your car, living in your house, riding your boat, and you'll realize what an idiot you've been. The reason we don't hear a roar of amens is women's not accustomed to doing it. That's why. And the men's not able. I'm just simply saying the husband and wife relationship, submit, submit, submit. I'm talking about women, you need to discover the power. I'm talking about power tonight. And some of you women, I know what you like. You like the woman said, George, I want to ask you a question. Why is it that every time I decide to submit to you, you start telling me what to do? But I'm talking about with the right attitude. Now, let's talk a little bit about the parent-child relationship. Now, we're still open here to our text in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, let's go to Ephesians 6. Notice, submitting yourselves one to another. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's something in a parent that God makes want to submit to a child when that child submits to them. Now, let me give you a couple of illustrations. It don't take long to raise a family. It don't seem like no time ago. Daniel was just a little fella. Daniel was always athletic. It was gifted. Joseph wasn't. He played basketball, but he just played because he wanted to enjoy social life. But Daniel, he was gifted at it. And he was always gifted at anything athletic. And I came home one day. Daniel's just a little fella. And Joseph, too little to play ball with him. Daniel come running up. And he said, Daddy, would you play some catch with me? And I said, son, I said, I would like to, but I can't. Oh, you can't? He looked up so pitiful. I said, no, sir, I can't. I just ran in long enough to eat lunch. I got to go on visitation. I got to take off. Got some people waiting, and I got to go. But I said, tell you what, Lord willing, when I get home and see him, I'll play some catch with you. He said, okay. So I went up, and I went in the room. I was getting ready to change clothes, take my coat off. He had followed me up. He stood in the doorway, and I'll never forget what he said. He looked up at me and said, Daddy, I understand. He said, you've got God's work to do. I looked at him. He said, that's more important than playing ball anyway. And he said, you're a good daddy anyway. And I can wait. What are you going to do with a kid like that? What? You can't whip him. You haven't done anything wrong. Oh, you can't whip him, can you? No. He hadn't done anything wrong. You know what I did? Put my jeans on, played ball with him. He forced me. He made me submit to him. I remember one time I came in, Joanna. Now, Joanna's my oldest. She's 30 now, but she was just about 4 or 5 years old. She didn't weigh but 4 pounds and 7 ounces when she was born. She's only about 4'11" and always been a little short thing. Married to a preacher in California there on staff with Dr. Jack Trevor. But anyway, she was about 5 years old, and she still had to sit on a seat to look over the dash. But I came in, and she went, Dad, are you going soul winning, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, can I go with you? Now, all of my children wanted to go with me, not because they were so spiritual, but because they knew that an ice cream cone was in the way before we got back, you know, and they wanted to get in on that. So I said, Joanna, honey, I would love to take you, but I'm going to see a fellow that's a beer drinker. And I don't know what kind of language we're going to get into, and I don't know what kind of alcohol situation. And honey, I can't this time, but I tell you what, dude, you're up next time. She said, okay. So I took off. I got changed. I got a couple of things. And I came out. As I started out the door, she's just sitting there like this. with Easter Sunday morning dress on, patent leather shoes. Like this, little feet crossed. Looking up at me. I looked down at her. And she looked up. And if I live to be 100 and die with Alzheimer's, I'll never forget what she said. She said, "Now, Dave," she said, "don't think that you have to take me with you just because I got dressed." She said, "because you're going where it is not good to take little girls. They drink, they use bad language," and she said, "wouldn't be a good place for somebody like me." But she said, "you have been known to change your mind sometimes." And she said, "I thought just in case this would be one of those times when you changed your mind, you wouldn't have to wait for me to get dressed, that I would be dressed." Now, I got a question to ask you. How are you going to handle a rebellious girl like that? What are you going to do with her? What are you going to do with her? Hey, one of you men, stand up and tell me how to correct a girl like that. Come on, stand up. I want to hear it. How are you going to handle that? She hasn't done nothing wrong. You can't spank her. She hasn't done anything wrong. What are you going to do? Hey, there ain't a saved man in this room got guts enough to walk out and leave that little girl sitting there. Not one. Not a saved man. She forced me. Hey, children, if you'll listen to me, I'll tell you how. Some of you are raising bad parents. If you listen to me, I'll tell you how to get your parents to do just about anything in the world you want them to do. If you listen to me, now I'm trying to help you biblically. And hey, wait a minute. And so I stared at her. I was about half provoked. I stared at her and I said, "well, come on, let's go." Changed my whole plan. Called the guy or something. Didn't even go see him. I got in the car. Got her in her little seat. Backed out of the garage. Her mother was over in the garden down that black Iowa dirt planting in the spring of the year. I'll never forget it. And when she heard the car and saw us back out, she had her hoe set. She grabbed a hoe. She went over and stood by the garage and grinned like this. I looked at Joanna. I looked at her and looked at Joanna. And I said, "what's your mama grinning so funny for?" And she looked at me and said, "because mama told me how to get it done." Now, mama knew how to get it done. I lived 38 years with a woman that knew how to get it done, friend. Mama knew how to get it done. She knew the biblical way to get it done. Let me tell you something. There's a biblical way to get it done. I used to come in, Rebecca and Leah. Rebecca's married to Tim Treiber, youth director, Dr. Treiber out there. And Leah's the baby. She's still at home. She went to Africa. Just left Africa. Mailed them off this morning there to Fairfield. And she'll be over there for a month or so with her sister doing missionary work. But anyway, Rebecca and Leah, they were little things. And I got a pond in my yard. They came out the door. They was on the way to the pond. I said, "I'd come in for lunch." "Where are you going, girls?" "Going fishing." I said, "yeah?" They said, "yeah." I said, "what are you using for bait?" "We ball up loaf bread, put it on a hook." I said, "loaf bread?" I said, "yeah." I said, "can you catch a fish with that?" "Well, if it stays on long enough, but it don't stay on very long. It just crumbles off and comes off. But we don't have any worms, and mama's too busy to go get worms, and because she's busy, and you're too busy to go get worms. You got stuff to do. So we're just fishing with bread." What are you going to do with that? You don't know the things those children have forced me to do. You have no idea. You have no idea. Now, let me tell you something. Listen to me. Bring up your parents in the way they should go. When they are old, they will not be mean to them to you. Your parents, somebody, I can hear some teacher, "my parents are down on me, and they're in an ugly spirit about it." You may be right. And I don't justify their spirit, but it's your fault. You caused it. If you only knew how every parent in this room wanted to submit to their child, you'd get up out of your seat and run to the altar and cry right now, young person, and say, "God, help me. God, help me." There's nobody on planet Earth wants to do what you let you have your way more than your parents did. But you've locked them in reverse. You pushed them. And you push on any parent, they're going to push back. I'm telling you something. There are teenagers in this room right now that could see a miracle and have privileges you never dreamed would be possible. I was in Florida. Joanna was my secretary for a little while, even when she was 16 years old. And I was in Florida preaching in a meeting. Joanna called me. She said, "Dad, I'm here at the office." I said, "Well, I hoped you would be." She said, "I'm here at the office." She said, "Dad, that last meeting you was in North Carolina. You brought back that Southern Gospel CD from down there." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, I started listening to that." She said, "You left it here on the desk." I started listening to that. People give me music tapes everywhere. And she said, there's several of the songs, most of the songs on there are songs that you would really like. But she said, there's a couple of songs on there that I don't think would meet your standards. But she said, I was wondering, would you care if I listen to the CD? I can skip over the songs that's not good. Here's what I said to her. Now, she calls me in Florida. I'm 1,500 miles away. And she asked me that. I said to her, I said, "Joanna, look. You're in Iowa. I'm in Florida. You have the Holy Spirit of God as well as I do. Why don't you ask God what He wants you to do about it? And just do it, and it'll be fine with Daddy." Now, wait a minute. I know what teenagers and parents and children are saying now. You're going to go home, "Mom, did you hear what he said? Whatever music we want to listen to, as long as we feel it's right." Let me tell you something, young lady. When a girl calls me 1,500 miles to ask permission to listen to music I would have never known she listened to, she has submitted to me. She submitted to my authority. I submit back, say, "Do what you want to." And I wasn't afraid to do it. And I want to tell you something. I'm talking about, I can trust young people like that. I can trust children like that. I remember one time Rachel, she's in Tanzania, Africa, just left this morning. Well, she's not now. She will be by Friday night. Her and Jerry going back. Jerry was raised there from age 10, went up here to Howells Anderson College, and went back to Tanzania as a missionary. Rachel married him, and I'll tell you the details later. But anyway, Rachel, I came in one day. Rachel was just turned about 18 years old, and we had a little rule. You didn't drive out of town until you were 18. You start driving earlier, but we didn't want you to go out of town. You were around town, in town. And I came in, but she had turned 18. She said, "Dad, I need to run up to Cedar Rapids and pick up something." It was on Friday afternoon late. And I wonder if I can go. I said, "Rachel, honey, it's 60 miles to Cedar Rapids. And then I don't know where you're going in Cedar Rapids." But I said, "Honey, not only that's Friday evening. And if you left now, you're going to be in the dark getting back." And I said, "A girl alone in the dark, 60 miles away, a town of 110,000 people." I said, "Honey, I don't think it's safe." I said, "There's guys out there just watching for stuff like that. And then the danger and Friday night and drunks." And she said, "But Dad, listen, I tell you what," she said, I can leave right away. And honest, I'll watch." And I said, "Well..." I said, "Honey, I don't know." She said, "Well, whatever you say." But she said, I can leave right away, and I'll be very careful. And I think I'm about to get back by dark." I said, "Okay." "Oh, good." She took off upstairs, and I heard her round up out. I went on doing something else. And she came back through. She said, "You sure it's okay?" I said, "Yeah." She went on in the other room. She was doing something. She came back. She said, "Are you sure it's okay?" And she went on upstairs, and she was doing something. She came back. She said, "Dad, are you sure it's okay if I go?" I looked at her. I said, "Girl, don't you think I got enough guts to say no when I want to? If you're going, take off." I said, "You're going to be in the dark getting back. What do you keep coming by here asking me if it's okay for you to go? I've told you 3 times it's okay." And if I live to be 100, I'll never forget what that girl said. She looked at me, and she said, "I'm telling you why I keep asking you." She said, "I don't want to sit in a wheelchair the rest of my life, paralyzed or with my legs cut off in a car wreck, because I pushed the Daddy to do what he didn't feel that I should do. I can submit. I can submit to a child like that. As a matter of fact, I have to watch myself. I let them do things I shouldn't let them do. If you would submit to your parents would get liberal. If you submit to your parents are allowed to let you do things they really shouldn't let you do. You be careful, parents. You get a child totally submitted to you. If you don't watch, you just go stone nuts. You'll go overboard letting them do things. I mean, you really will. I dare you. And by the way, that girl's on the mission field tonight. I dare you. I dare you to go to your daddy and say, Dad, look, you're a man. You know what's going on about girls and dress. Is this dress okay? I dare you. I dare you. Dare you and just see what happens. Dad, look, somebody gave us this music. I think it's all right, but I want to see what you think. Mom, what do you think? I dare you. I dare you. Look, I am as bullheaded, strong, sometimes overbearing. I mean, buddy, you ain't going to ain't no kid going to push me around. But I'm going to tell you what, when my children submit to me, I've become a weak noodle wimp. I was at the church one day, and Daniel called. He is about 12, 13. He got in his head. He wanted to go to golf. The only thing he'd ever played was putt-putt. And he wanted to go golfing. And I never golfed in my life, never touched a golf club. I wished I never had. I really do. They don't mow the grass where I play. They raise corn and beans where my ball goes, and they mow the grass where other people's ball lands. And so they discriminate against me. But anyway, he called. I was there at the office, and he said, Dad, he said, I wonder, someday, I've always wanted to go golfing. I see people out on a golf course. I wonder, would you take me golfing someday? He said, someday when you're having a day off and you have time, would you take me? Look, I was as busy as a one-armed paper hanger. I said, yep. I said, get ready. We'll go in 20 minutes. He said, what? I said, get ready. I dropped everything I was doing, went home, ran in to get my jeans on and get ready. And Diane said, come up here, I want to talk to you. I went up. I said, what's up? I said, I got to hurry up. She said, I know. You're going to take Daniel golfing, aren't you? I said, yeah. What's up? She said, he came to me and said, Mom, I can't believe my daddy stopped his work in the middle of the day just to come home and take me golfing. Do you have any wonderment why that boy's youth director in an independent Baptist church tonight? Do you have any wonderment why that boy wants to be like his daddy? Huh? Because I submitted to him. But you know why I submitted to him? He submitted to me. And he submitted to me first. And that made me want to submit to him. But if he had never submitted to me, that boy could be in jail tonight. Teenagers, I'm trying to help you. I think this is one of the finest looking young groups of young people ever stood up here. I got my finger on a new life for you tonight. So much. Yeah, but you're a preacher, and Pastor Angel over here is a preacher. But wait a minute. Let me tell you about a girl that rode in on the bus. And she prayed for her parents and witnessed to her parents and wanted her parents to get saved. And she got in. I mean, she got in. She got in the youth group. She got in. And the call came one day to the church, and it was from this home. And the mother had called and said, my husband wondered if a pastor could come down and talk to him. And the pastor, oh, good, he's under conviction. He's going to get saved. And so he went in, and the mother met and said, he's in the back room. He wants to talk to you private. The pastor walked back, and he sat down, and this fella, lost man, daddy of this girl, said, preacher, you're causing trouble for me. He said, why am I causing trouble for you? He said, well, the things you're preaching. He said, what am I preaching? Says, you're preaching. This girl's coming to me saying that I need to be involved in where she goes to college. I need to help her pick the college. I need to supervise her and who she dates and how she dresses and all of this stuff. He said, preacher, I don't know anything about all that stuff. I don't even know anything about all these colleges, these Christian colleges and all that. I don't know anything about all that. And how do I know who she's supposed to date and all of that? You're creating problems for me. What am I going to tell her? And this pastor said, well, I think I can help you. The first thing you need to do is realize Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short. And he led the man to God. And he got saved. Because a girl submitted to a lost daddy. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm trying to help. Look, I didn't come pick on you. I didn't come be mean to you. I didn't come show off. I came to try to be a help to you. And I had sermons, more exciting sermons than this one. But I want to tell you something, friend. The Spirit of God shut that thing down. That man had up there is going to put on his screen and said, this is it for tonight. This is what I want you to say. I dare you. Oh, my parents are mean, and they're overbearing, and they're too tight on me, and they're too strict on me, and they should let me have more liberties. I will shock you. You may be right. And they may be wrong. And I'm not justifying their spirit. And I'm not justifying the way they answer you. And I'm not justifying the way they talk to you sometimes. And I'm not justifying the way they holler at you. I'm not justifying them. I will not justify them. And I will not say they're right. But I want to tell you something, young person. You're the culprit. You caused it. You caused it. Because you wouldn't submit. You made a devil out of your parents. You made a monster out of your parents. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to tell you, look, I'm a man. I've raised 7 children. I know what happens when one of them decides they're going to try to run around me. I know what happens. I turn from a spirit-filled preacher into a dogmatic monster of a stubborn, bull-headed, you ain't a running over me, girl. I'm trying to help you if you listen to me. I'm not trying to be funny. And by the way, when you like, you may take a breath. Okay? Some of you are in for a rough ride that's going to end up in a hole somewhere. Some of you are going to throw your life away in out of a church like this one. Because you will not go God's way and submit to your parents. And if you did, God would change their whole nature and you could start living a happy life and start having some liberties you never thought possible. I dare you to do it. I dare you to do it. I dare you to do it. I came in. Rachel was my secretary. I've had 4 of my children be my secretary. Rachel was my secretary. All 4 of them gone to Bible college. All 7 of my children have gone to Bible college. But Rachel, I came in one day. You won't believe I said this. And Pastor Angel's wife knows how old school I am about. I'm a very conservative man when it comes to makeup and all of that. I came in one day. Rachel's sitting there. I said, Rachel, I got a strange request of you. She's secretary. I said, what's that? I said, honey, you need to wear a little bit of makeup. She said, really? I said, yeah, really. I said, I ain't talking about looking like Tammy Faye Baker or something, but I said, you need to wear just a little bit of makeup. I said, you're secretary here. Somebody come in, you're just too bland. You're too plain. You look like death warmed over. I said, you're pale and no lipstick. And I said, honey, you need to put on a little. Well, Dad, I don't care for it. Oh, she'd put on a little. Some boy she thought she might be interested in or something. But you know, I said, hey, I said, look, you wouldn't believe the spirit your parents would get in if you would just submit. The parent-child relationship. Let me give you this. The employer-employee relationship. Look in chapter 5 now, verse 5 of chapter 6. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as to the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart to your masters. You say, oh, you mean the masters who are deacons in independent Baptist churches? No, masters. Heathen masters, lost masters, masters out yonder in the workplace. Submit to them. Then it says a word to the bosses in verse 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. Don't get mean, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. But that master, that employer, can submit to the employee once the employee submits back. Look, I've got a lady in my church that worked in a hospital. She was, for all practical purposes, a lawyer in Mercy Hospital, a Catholic hospital, but she's a member of my church. And she heard this message. She said, Pastor, you wouldn't believe what happened. I said, lay it on me. She said, and she had there's no telling what she's making. Big money. She was the lawyer, basically. She took care of all the legal matters. She said, I blew it. I messed up. I made a bad decision. And she, I don't remember what it was, but it was a bad decision. And she said, there was a board meeting called, and I knew why. My head was about to roll, and I knew it. And she said, these board members came in and said there was a room with a long oval table. And said they filed in, everybody with their papers and get ready to sit down. She said, I just called the meeting to order. Could I have your attention, please? Everybody looked up. She said, I know why we're here. I think I can just save us some time. We're here because I blew it. I messed up. I was given a job and money as a salary. And I have messed up. I dropped the ball. It's my fault. It's nobody's fault but mine. And I know why we're having the meeting. It's because of me. And there's really nothing more to be known about except what I'm telling you. And I don't blame you if you fire me. Matter of fact, you ought not pay somebody what you're paying me to goof up like that and leave the hospital with these types of problems. So if you want to, that's fine. I'll leave, and I won't be angry at anybody because it was all my fault. Now, wait a minute. There's a world out there that's not used to hearing that kind of language. There's a world out there that don't know how to handle that. And they stared at her for a while. Nobody knew what to say. Finally, one lady said, kind of nervously, "Well, Barb, it's not all your fault." Yes, it was. Well, there was other things involved. Well, but the buck stops with me. It was my department. I was the head of this department. It's my fault. I'm responsible. And another one, "Now, Barb, you can't say it's all your fault." Suddenly, those which came to persecute her was now her defenders. Those who came to fire her was now protecting her. And by the way, she's still working there. Charlie Fryerman, you know Charlie Fryerman. Charlie Fryerman was a purchasing agent for United Technologies. And Charlie, they got a Learjet at their disposal. They don't own it, but they got it at their disposal. And they make inside panels for cars, work out of Detroit. Got a factory there in Iowa City. And dashboard parts, and they will order, he'll pick up a phone call, and a Learjet will fly in a little bag of screws that they need to complete a job, and for about every hour they're down, it's like $1 million. I mean, it's bad. He blew it. He didn't put the parts there when it should have been. The factory had shut down the whole place. It was bad, real bad. Charlie got word, the big boy from Detroit's come down and talked to him. Charlie heard this sermon. Charlie said, when the secretary buzzed and said, "By the way, here's a man that makes six digits, and I don't know how much more besides that." I'm talking about Charlie. And said, when the secretary buzzed and said, "Mr. So-and-so from Detroit's here to see you," he said, "send him in." He said, when he walked in, said, I said, "Sir, sit down." I sat down and glared at him. He said, "I know why you're here. You're here because you don't hire people and pay them what you're paying me to make the stupid mistakes I made. I've blown it, and I've cost lots of money for this company. And I know why you're here. I didn't mean to, but I messed up. I goofed up. I wasn't thinking. I should have been thinking. I wasn't planning. I should have been planning. I messed up, and if I were you, I wouldn't blame you at all for firing me." So the guy just stared at him. I think he said a few things. He got up, looked back at Charlie, and said, "Charlie, you've been making money for us for years. Keep up the good work." Walked out, got in his jet, and flew back to Chicago. "Look, they've tried to move Charlie for years. They tried to move him to Atlanta or somewhere. They tried to move him to other factories because he's valuable to the company. He won't move." And they said, "Charlie, why won't you move?" He said, "Because of my bus route." They said, "Your what? Bus route? We didn't know you drove a bus on the side." He said, "Yeah, I do. What company do you drive for?" "Marion Avenue Baptist Church." "A church? Yeah. You drive a bus. This salary?" He said, "No, we just do it free. And we go 35 miles before we can even get to the church. And we pick up here in Iowa City and drive 35 miles to Washington, Iowa. And then we bring them back 35 miles. And we visit them all day on Saturday. And then we work all day on Sunday. And all of that without pay." Yeah. "And that's why you won't move." "Yes, sir. We don't have a church like that in the other place you want to put me. I can't take my bus route with me. And I love my children. I can't take them with me. I ain't moving." They ain't made him move yet. He's still making money. You want to know why? He submitted to them. I'm telling people in this room right now how to climb the corporate ladder. I'm telling people in this room right now how to make money. I'm telling people in this room right now how to make friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. I'm telling people in this room right now how you can get people in your favor. Look, there's a world out there, and I don't care if they are a bunch of drinking, heathen, immoral, ungodly lot. Hey, they will submit back to people that submit to them. You know, Daniel was an excellent spirit, and he worked the best he could to try to please those that were over him without doing wrong. And the people saw it and brought him into loving favor with those people that he could have influence over later. I dare you, I dare you, I dare you to submit to your boss. Listen to this. Ecclesiastes 10:4. If the spirit of the ruler, that's the person over you, rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifies great offenses. I throw this in and get done preaching here. The pastor and people relationship. Hebrews 13. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Brother Terry, I have been in churches, and I said, I know, I didn't tell the preacher, but I know why the church didn't grow. I've been in churches, and preachers say something like this. Well, I'll tell you what, Brother Brown, you got your work cut out for you tonight. I said, I do. He said, yeah, it's the biggest bunch of devils I've ever seen in my life. I'm telling you the honest truth, you can't get them to do nothing. They won't tithe, they won't go soul winning, they won't do nothing. Look, I'm as straight fundamental as they come. I'm so narrow between the eyes, a gnat could sit on the bridge of my nose and keep me in both eyes at one time. But I want to tell you something, friend. A preacher like that ain't going to do much. And I know why. And I get up and preach, and them people sit there like, just see if you can do anything with it. I mean, they'd actually sit like this. It's set like this. And I understood the preacher. You know why you got the kind of pastor you have? You don't know, do you? I'm going to tell you. You got the kind of pastor you have because you're kind of the kind of people you are. You got the kind of pastor you have because of the way you get on this altar. If you didn't do what you do, it's either one or two things. He would have a different spirit and you wouldn't like it. Or God would move him, one or the other. It's your submission that has caused him to submit back to you, to love you and give his life to you, and to serve you as a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bury your dead, marry your young, and to cry over you and help you through marital problems and children problems and school problems and all of that. Now stay with me. It's your attitude. If you keep it right, you'll have a pastor that loves you, helps you and guides you and serves you. I'm not a preacher, he's down on me. And he may be too belligerent. And he may be pointing you out. And he may be... But you caused it. If you get on the altar and say, God, he's right. I don't care what mood I think he's in. He's right anyway. His whole mood would change. His whole spirit would change. And you know what? I hear some kid in this room right now that goes to this Christian school. My teacher just got it out for me. She picks on me. She singles me out. She picked on me. She is against me, and it's not right. Can I throw you into shock? You may be right. Because teachers are human. And teachers, you start pushing on a teacher, she's going to push back. She may be treating you unjustly. She may be unfair. She may really be down on your case. And she may really not be right about it, but you caused it. You caused it. All of these teachers in this school are human. Every one of them. And by the way, I don't know of any problem in this room. So if you think I'm dealing with your little case, you're wrong, lady. You're wrong, kid. I don't know anybody. Have you ever told me about anything going on around you? Has anybody else in here ever told me? I don't know anything, but I know you got a Christian school. And I'm telling you something, friend. Are you listening to me? You've created a bad teacher. You've caused trouble for yourself. And guess what? It ain't getting no better. It's going to get worse. And guess what? You ain't winning. She or he is going to win. And you're going to be the loser. And then you're liable to get bitter. And you're liable to grow up and live for the devil because you said, I had a teacher that wasn't right with God and they wouldn't do anything with her. And they left her in the school and she had it out from me. And I know it. And the others told me they knew it too. And they could tell she was against me. And you might be right, but you caused it. Because when you buck somebody, they're going to buck back. I don't care if it's a teacher or a preacher or a parent or a school principal or who it is. If they've got, listen, unless they've got a lot of fortitude, they can't help it. You're causing trouble for yourself and causing trouble for this school and causing trouble for your teacher and causing trouble for your parents. Why don't you just admit it? You say, okay. I'm going to just say, all right, I'm changing it. We'll ask God to give me the right attitude, and I'm going to submit. I don't care if that woman is a perfect devil, points me out and embarrasses me every day. I'm going to submit to it. I'm going to submit right. I'm going to have a good attitude. I'm going to tell her I'm sorry. I'm going to go to her tomorrow and say, I have not had the right attitude, and I want you to forgive me. Now, wait a minute. Don't, in every case, expect her to say, oh, bless your little heart. Oh, bless you. Now, wait a minute. You didn't create a teacher like that overnight, and you won't cure one like that overnight. But you do that day after day with the right heart attitude. It won't be no time. She'll be eating out of your hand. She'll be treating you nice. And you liable to end up being her favorite. And it liable to be that before the year's out, the other kids may say, it ain't fair. You get special treatment and we don't. I'm trying to help you now. I'm trying to tell you something. I close with this. And I shouldn't have left such little time. But here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, everywhere you look. For instance, Malachi. You're cursed with a curse. You bring in much and go out with little. You put your money in a bag with a hole in it. And boy, you're cursed with a curse. Here's this whole nation. Rawr, God, the judgment of God. And he says, bring ye the tithes into the storehouse. Prove me therewith, saith the Lord. If I will not do what? Become your servant. Open you the windows of heaven, come down. Pour you out a blessing. You will not be able to receive. I wish I had time to give you a dozen. You know it's there. You know it's in the Bible. I wish I had time to give you a dozen illustrations of how if you'll submit to God, draw nigh unto God, He will draw nigh unto you. Many, 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 many. And example after example after example after example. I'll give you an illustration too, and I'm done. I was, one Sunday night, we voted to buy all that property, Brother Terry. Didn't have the money. Didn't have the money. We knew we didn't have the money. The people knew it. I knew it. And I got up and told them we don't have the money. But I said, for years, we've just dreamed of having this. And it looks like our people's for it. I've walked our men through it. And it just appears that our people's for it. And I said, look, if you vote against it, fine. I'm not mad at you. But I said, I just feel led to put it to a vote. It was a unanimous vote. Unanimous. Not a single hand against it. Then I preached on going into Canaan. And I said, and I told him in the sermon, I said, I am a total idiot to bring up to buy that property. We don't have the money to make payments on that property. And I said, you're a total idiot to vote for it. And they laughed. But I said, we'll trust God and move on into Canaan's land by faith and just see if God knocks the walls down. And then I ended up with this. I said, folks, we need God. We need God. And I said, I'm going to do something tonight that you wouldn't expect me to do. I said, I'm going to make a confession. Sometimes I believe that God is pleased with me. And sometimes I believe He's not. But I'm going to get on the altar tonight. I don't know what you're going to do. You can go home if you want to. That's the invitation. I'm going to the altar. I said, when I go to the altar, you're dismissed. You can go home. But I'm going to the altar. And when I get on the altar, I'm going to ask the Lord to be pleased with me more than He has ever been pleased with me before. I want to submit my life to the Lord and my heart to the Lord and to please Him more than I have ever pleased Him before. And with that, I just dropped down on the altar. Well, many people came to the altar. I didn't pray very long because I knew, based on the people that stayed and the people at the altar, I needed to finish conducting the invitation. Now look, I'm at the altar. I stand up, and when I stood up, after submitting to the Lord, somebody tapped me on the shoulder like this. I turned around, there was a visitor. He'd only been there, I think, twice before in a period of 20 years, a visitor. He said, Pastor Brown, could I give a testimony? I said, yeah. He got up and gave a testimony, short testimony. And he started to wave from the pulpit. I thought, well, that was nice, but what did it have to do with the price of tea in China? And as he started away from the pulpit, he said, oh, by the way, he said, the reason I came up here, while Pastor Brown was preaching tonight, said, God laid on my heart to give the church. And he told the amount of money was half what we paid for the whole property. And in 48 hours, all of that money was in our treasure. In 48 hours. I knocked a hole in the bottom of heaven. Hey, we're in an economic mess in this country, and most churches are suffering. Mine is really, and yours didn't bring in this past year what it did the year before. It's not because you don't love the Lord as much as because of the economy. But I want to tell you something. God ain't bankrupt. And if you get this church, you get this church submitting to the Lord. God will step out of heaven and do things like you ain't never. Ever! Seen before. Submission causes submission. Are you going to lie to the Holy Spirit and walk out of here like God wasn't even here? Are you going to say, Lord, somewhere along one of those points or more, you spoke to me. You dealt with my heart. Could be the marital relationship. Could be some man here already has a wife more submitted to you than you are to her. Sir, I repeat again, you're living a dangerous life. A real dangerous life. It could be a parent-child relationship. Could be an employer-employee relationship. Or it could be a God-child of God relationship. Submitting yourselves one to the other in the fear of God. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll bless us now tonight, dear Lord. I pray, oh God, the Holy Spirit of God will take over and do what needs to be done. And in Jesus' name, somebody come to an instrument as quick as you can. In just a moment, don't do anything until I tell you, but just a moment, I'm going to have this person on the instrument here begin to play when I give her the signal. And you pick out anything that you want there. And when I give you the signal, I want you, if God spoke to you, I want everybody to stand when you hear music. And as you stand, if you believe the Holy Spirit of God spoke to you, whether you are a little boy, a little girl, or whether you're a jolly 60 or a senior saint or anything in between, newlyweds to the nearly deads, it don't matter. I mean, if God spoke to you tonight and you know He did, you say, I will not lie to the Holy Ghost of God. The Lord dealt with me tonight and I know He did. He spoke to me. Let me tell you something. Don't look around and see if Sister Wigglejaw's coming to the altar. What difference does it make? You better get your carcass down here, lady. Sir, you better get down here. Teenager, you better get down here. Little boy, you better get down here. Because let me tell you something. When you hear a truth that you know God has spoke to you about, you better not trifle with God Almighty, the Creator of the universe. Holy Spirit of God, work now in the invitation. In Jesus' name, keep your heads bowed. If God spoke to you, begin the music right now. Everybody.